Well, greetings to you in the name of our Lord this morning. It is indeed good to be back with you. I just admit our being gone so much is not always a matter of choice. Last week it was. It's always a matter of choice, but last week was not our choice. The week before was our choice, where we visited Angelo in Houston. And so with the travels we've had in the past several months, I feel like I have a few personal items to get out of the way before I get to the message. So if you can indulge me a bit, I will do that first. Number one, I'd just like to call attention to two young men who have come to the area I think Brother Mark Glick indefinitely, and Benny Kaufman is here at least till May or so. I think they're renting our apartment, and so I felt it appropriate for me to at least introduce that much. So welcome, men. I also wanted to just comment a little bit about India. I do regret that I will be unable to join them this year, maybe next year, but I thought so last year, and so we'll leave that to the Lord to figure out for sure. One little statistic that I'd like to offer that you won't hear from the government of India. I think since we've been going the last 20 years, the statistics as far as Christians and or how large the Christian population is has not changed as far as the government's concerned. They still say, I believe it's 1.5%. Christians on the ground there say that has changed a lot. And so our efforts, by the standards of the statistics of the government, may seem fruitless, but not so for the people on the ground. They say there is mighty movement in the kingdom of God in India. And so blessings, Lowell, as you and Ernest and Vidya make this trip. I would also like to take this opportunity to just again express my gratitude to you as a congregation for the support I've felt the past 2 years, and most recently when I asked for prayer for wisdom to know which treatment option to pursue for my current condition, the Lord answered unmistakably, I should say. And when the surgeon tells you that you should do radiation, you'd better listen to the Lord through him. And so that was the case. He was not the one who would have done the surgery, but would be one who would generally favor surgery over radiation. But so I did start my regimen of radiation treatments this week. It is it's a bit of a grueling one in that it is every day for 8 weeks, continue to trust the Lord for strength and for grace. So far, I don't think I feel a lot of side effects, but I may feel that coming on yet. One question I have, I had told the story of Amos and the story that was written about him in the Christian Example about how he used to stop and play with a young boy, and how that experience transformed I was instrumental in bringing that man back to the Lord in his late years. I told that story to a friend in South Carolina, and he wants the details. He wants to see the story. Well, we thought we had the story. If someone knows where your copy of that story is, would you make it available to us? Because we would really like to get that to that brother that has that interest. And, by the way, I should just warn you that I don't intend to preach quite as full a message as I sometimes do for your, just if that relieves you, because I have one more thing I want to say. As you know, I do serve on the AMA board, And I'm tasked with the responsibility of finding people to serve under AMA in El Salvador. And I'm going to offer just a little bit of a sales pitch this morning that may seem out of character if you're talking about foreign missions. Typically, when we talk about foreign missions, we are talking about people who've thought about it, prayed about it, felt a calling for years, and maybe did a lot of preparation before they go. We have a position that needs to be filled by the end of the summer that goes like this. It is an opportunity. It is in this case not a pastoral role, but it is living and operating the guest house in San Salvador and being a part of the church there. But here's what I'm going to pitch it as. Instead of this high and holy calling that takes you to the hinterlands of the earth, have you ever thought of the fact that serving in a foreign culture under the auspices of an organization that pays all your bills and gives you the chance of learning a language, in fact, and in the end gives you a stipend at the end of the year, how that might be a possibility for training for the future? And the reason I dare say that is because for me it was that. I served in the lot with Brother Gary when Brother Gary was ordained. I have been thankful to God many, many, many times that God ordained Gary instead of me that day. It gave me a chance to grow up, 13 years to be exact. And I value very highly the experience I had. So here is my proposal. If you, for some reason, would like to prepare for life, I'm talking about life back in the States. By the way, this is an opportunity that would bring back a skill that many people have asked if they could borrow mine. That is the ability to speak Spanish. You'd bring that back with you, and it would prepare you in ways that you can't imagine how that would prepare you to serve in our culture with an increasing Latin population. You might be needing a sabbatical. This might be the answer. Well, I think I need to get on to the things that we're really here for. Do see me if you have that interest. The title of my message this morning is The Authority of Christ. If you have your Bibles, open them, if you would, to Matthew 28. This is a very familiar passage. And you might wonder how I dare preach on this passage as passage after having just given a pitch for something as unspiritual as running the guest house in El Salvador. But please hang on. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This, as you know, is often spoken of as the Great Commission, and it is one that can be read and can be interpreted, can be rephrased. The message is simple. The message is clear, that we have a message to carry. Now, if someone would have asked me 6 months ago, what is the basis for ministry? or what should motivate us to minister to the world around us, I would likely have answered with something like this, that it's the unspeakable human need around us. It's the lost souls. It's the deplorable state of humanity, like the poverty mindset, the refugee crises that we hear of and see and even serve in. It's the drug addiction. Or we might say it's my debt to the world. That's why I need to do something like this. After all, I am a privileged white, and because I have a debt, and because of it, I have a debt to the world. My privileged status demands that I reach out to the less fortunate. Because I have, I must find ways to help the have-nots. Now, that's the way I think I would have sort of tended to answer 6 months ago. Well, while all the above are plausible motivations for teaching, for reaching out to our neighbor, are they really the basis for serving God by serving others? And this is where I begin on a bit of a journey. I don't remember having given that question very serious thought ever. You know, what is the basis for ministry? But I was challenged by a comment in a devotional writing by Dietrich Bonhoeffer that has left me thinking a lot. And here's what he said, just a short quote. The basis for ministry is the authority of Christ, not human need. And while I have read this passage, while I've read what Jesus has said over and over again, and by the way, the King James is the only English version that uses the word power. All the other versions that I consulted, including the Spanish, would use the word authority. And so, what does that mean? What does it mean that the authority of Christ is the basis for missions? And I just admit that this is one of these messages where I have a bunch of words already written out. In fact, I typed my notes for the second or third time in my life. And I still pray that the words I speak can somehow minister, can somehow spark a curiosity in our hearts about the authority of Christ and the basis for ministry, not just missions out there, but for anything that we do. Well, it has caused me to reflect on how heavily I have weighted ministering to my fellow man as a responsibility or as a stewardship. And you may ask, so how has it changed me in practical terms? I'm not sure it has. But it has changed at least some of my thought processes about ministry. For me, it is becoming a paradigm shift that I expect to process as long as I have a sound mind. So it's not something. It's not just this is not a new theological idea. This is not something. But for me, it has peaked. It has caused me to stop and think, ask the question. So why do I minister to people? And under what circumstances do I minister to people? What is my empowerment? Where does it come from? Whereas before I tended to see it as my responsibility to get things done, or then pay the price of the unprofitable servant. I mean, that's the way I would have approached ministry. You either do it or then pay the price, the consequences, if you please. But this is providing me with an exalted view of the exalted Christ. And I can't quite explain what all it has done. It has helped me to look at the path he took to reach this point of the authority that he was then granted, which he spoke of to his disciples. It was at least one of his parting messages. Now, one thing I find rather interesting, listen to the context of these words that he spoke when he said, "All authority is given unto me." Now, it's not clear in the Bible exactly how the chronology of these events, but look at the question that the disciples asked him in Acts 1, verse 6, where they said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" You get the question they're asking? They're asking, is this now, are you finally going to do what we think you came to do? And so I can't tell you for sure that what he said then in Matthew 28 followed that. But if whether it followed it or whether it preceded it, Jesus was making the point that all authority is given to me. And that's a very comprehensive statement if I know what he's saying. And I think some of this I have just had, it's just been a huge blessing. It's been a journey for me to begin to see in perhaps a bit more detail the authority that he speaks of here. What do you make of someone that claims that he has total authority? That nothing, I mean, he doesn't say it this way in these words, but this is what he is saying, I believe, that there is nothing not under his authority. But how did he get there? And I should warn you, this is just the first part of this message. That's one reason it can be a little shorter. I hope to come back then and treat the subject more about how he got there and look at how he earned that right. But this morning I'd like to look more at the concept of what we're talking about here. So he left the disciples with an enormous task, and he promised them strength. And he also he promised them strength, and he declared an unparalleled authority for them to move into enemy territory. And while we often think of authority as being somehow, we think of spiritual warfare as one place where the authority of Christ stands, and it does. But it needs to stand in every other place as well. And maybe this is a stretch to say it this way, but it seems to me if the authority of Christ is not important in the things that we do, then I question the value of doing them. Now, I know that there's a thing, I brush my teeth on a daily basis, and that has little to do with the authority of Christ. I understand that. But I'm saying that as we minister to people and as we reach out, I think it's just important for me at least, to recognize the authority that we live under. It has stirred in me just a deepening worship of Christ. I read Bonhoeffer's comment about, again, I'll say it, the basis for ministry is the authority of Christ, not human need. I read that comment sometime before the Advent season, and it gave me an opportunity to see his coming in a very different light. Here he comes as a little babe. He comes and he it, and you know I understand why we. I mean, it's just a precious little thing. He was a little baby in a, you know, in a, in he was denied entrance into the inn, but he was given a manger bed, a very humble beginning, and so forth. And it is all sort of it's almost a bit romantic. But do you realize that what he was doing, this was, I believe, a part of his establishing his authority. And the next message, I hope to treat that subject with some detail then. And so it just gave me, it seemed like at every turn I was saying, there it is again. He is establishing his authority over and over and over. And if you read the Gospels, if you read the narrative in the Gospels of his 3 years of ministry, just look at how he over and over again did things that established his authority. While his coming as a lowly babe and the poverty he was raised in may have been seen as weakness by some, including the powers of darkness, this is not the way they expected a king to come. It was a brilliant move. I mean, to be honest with you, maybe brilliant is not quite the right term to use, but it's at least the one that grabs my attention. He was smart. He knew what he was doing. This was not just an accident. He knew exactly what he was doing by coming the way he did. And I want to address later the whole concept of his coming, and so that's for the next message. But it was on the part of Christ, it was his establishing a kingdom that is known for its power under, not his power over. Do I make sense there? And so he came as an example. He showed us so much, and he taught us so much by the ways that he came and the things that he did. But his kingdom, it's an upside down kingdom. We recognize that. It's a kingdom of power under, not power over. The concept that Bonhoeffer lifts out is predicated on his parting words to Jesus' disciples: "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore," etc. In that commissioning to his disciples, he mentions nothing about the overwhelming human need. And I find that sort of interesting, because very frankly, that's what has pricked my conscience. That's what has made me say I need to do this or that or the other because of the need of these people. And if you can understand my heart, if you understand what I'm saying here, I just think it's so important to begin to grasp that the basis is not the need around me. It is the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he mentions nothing about the human need as human need in the world as the inspiration for taking the gospel. Can you imagine with me for just a moment what it might be like if we, his children, were stirred into action based on Christ's authority instead of the needs we see around us? And the reason I say that is because I will never grasp the magnitude of this statement that all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. I will continue, I believe, till I lose my mind. I hope that doesn't happen soon. To process this, because that means anything and everything we touch, everywhere we live, he is in charge. He is in authority. Now, that doesn't mean that he controls everything, that he dictates everything that happens, but it does mean that he is capable of doing that. But I think we need to stop, at least I think. It's been a journey for me, but I've come to the place to say, you know, there are some things that God does not ordain, I don't believe. And there's human choice, there's all kinds of things involved, and so I want to be pretty careful about that. There is a book that I think would be worth your while. I have not read the whole book, read it a bit. The title of it, hon, can you remind me? It's Why Bad Things Happen. And what is our comfort? It was a book that was written by someone who has definitely been through that and has come to some understanding of it. For the Glicks information here, you would appreciate this, that your grandfather stayed at a house last year, read that book, and he said, this book exposes the error that we see around us so much. The error that says that everything is dictated by God and whatever. It's sort of a fatalistic attitude. And he's talking about his experience in El Salvador, Central America, with the Catholic Church in particular. Now, here's the interesting and rather heartbreaking note. He read that book at our house, and I believe the Lord provided it for him, because in less than a week, he went home to bury a grandson. And so the Lord used it, I believe, to shape. But I'm simply saying that may be a book that you want to access if you're questioning God's goodness and God's grace in hard times. Well, I guess I am making an assumption here. When I speak the way I do, I make an assumption that some of you might have been thinking too about the magnitude of the human need around you, and this, we need to get with it. We need to get busy. We need to do something. I think it's probably sort of a human response, and maybe it's the nature of my personality that I had responded in that way more than was appropriate, probably. But I will simply say that Bonhoeffer's analysis of the basis of ministry has inspired me to try to think through and understand the basis for and look into the scriptures to try to grasp in some small measure, and I would just highlight that, some small measure, the magnitude of Christ's sweeping and all-inclusive and unapologetic declaration of unrivaled authority. I think that barely gets it to say it that way, but Jesus is setting himself up. He earned what he had. And he was telling his disciples that. And so I sort of look back and I say, here they were saying, so are you going to set up the kingdom now like we thought? And remember the discussion they had the evening of the last, what we call the Last Supper. They were quibbling among themselves as to who would be the greatest. And there was probably still some of that simmering. I don't know for sure. But Jesus goes way beyond that. No, he's not coming to do that. He has all authority now, not just over the Romans, not just to make the life pleasant for the Israelites. He has all authority over everybody, over every person, over every demon. You name it, he has authority. Well, I have no question about the truth of Jesus' words, so anything that I say in this message here this morning is just an effort to draw our hearts to the one that has all authority. Now, without a doubt, Jesus cared very deeply about human need. And yet he demonstrated his authority in dealing with human need. It wasn't, I think we sometimes get, so at least for me, I sometimes look at Jesus and I say, for the compassion that Jesus had. I would love to have that. And there's truth to that. There is Jesus had compassion. But it was not the attribute that performed the miracles. It wasn't the attribute of compassion or the characteristic or whatever you want to call it, the attitude of compassion. It was not that drove him to heal the sick, to stop the storms, to feed the multitudes, and so forth. It was his authority. Now, the other thing I'd like to finger in the next message some with you is how this shaped up. Because there seems to have been something happen at the cross. We say that Jesus was all God and he was all man. But there seems to be something that he acquired when he sacrificed his life for you and me. It seems like he acquired a level of authority that superseded what he had before. Maybe not, but I want to work with that one in the next message. When Jesus said, "All authority is given to me," he was implying that there is an ultimate authority. You'll notice Jesus didn't say that I got it for myself. He said that he said it was given to him. And in fact, all real authority is not a... let me just say it this way. That maybe I should just read what I wrote. It said, authority is never self-derived. If it is, it is merely contrived. That points back to an ultimate authority. Now, Jesus, when he said that all power is given unto me, he is implying that there is an ultimate authority who had the power to give him the authority of which he spoke. Okay? The way he speaks of receiving his authority, he underscores an element that is inherent when there is a transfer of authority. In other words, what I'm trying to point out here is that this world operates under a system of authority. It just does. But there is an ultimate authority. We believe there is an ultimate authority. There is a creator, an ultimate creator, I would say, a judge, and a truth. The list goes on about who God is. He is the ultimate of everything. And in fact, I had not thought of this before, but John Lennox pointed out in a debate that I heard that one of the reasons that we Christians rest and live in the world that we do, we can rest our souls in the fact that there will ultimately be judgment passed on all injustice. And I had never thought of that, but that is before I heard him say it. To me, that's true about judgment, but it's also true about authority. It's also true about him being the ultimate creator. He is everything that we come back to. And so since he is the ultimate everything, it is in his power to impart to his creation any of the characteristics he chooses and whatever measure he deems right, And like I said, authority is never self-derived. it always harks back to someone else that has more authority. And where it is self-derived, it's going to be short-lived. It's not. It's going to be rendered useless. And I, in closing here, I'll just use a couple examples that might that might help make that point. For example, if in a workplace where you have where you have a chain of command, let's say, or you have levels of authority, a supervisor who is not the owner of the business can usurp authority that is not his. And to the subordinate, that can feel like unfairness. It can feel like abuse. It can be, you know, whatever you want to call it. But the subordinate has another authority above the supervisor he can appeal to. And so when we in I'll just make this personal. I'll use it in the first person. So I hope it makes sense to you. So if someone violates me, some way or another, and usurps his authority over me that was not God given. God has provided a way for me to circumvent that authority. And here it is, if I understand it correctly. So if someone violates me, I can lay down my bitterness, not hold it against the person. And in that way, I render powerless the violation. Now, you may wonder, how on the earth is this tied in with authority? Well, it's because it is. We live in a structure of authority. One way or another, we are under somebody, and I mean under a whole batch of people for that matter, but I'm saying it's one of those things that if we can get a hold of that concept, this whole thing of authority, no, we are not crushed because we live under authority. We're not even crushed because we've been violated. It's when we persist in our bitterness, or whatever it is that it drives us to, that we live under that power. And so it's a gift from God that we can actually circumvent the debilitating effects of abuse, because we have come to lay down the thing. It has to do with our volition. But anyhow, I'll leave that for later. And so I would, with you, just like to explore, like to understand better the authority of Christ and what he means by this whole thing, that he has it all. And what does it mean when you and I step forward into a wild, wicked world and meet the world head on with this authority? Let's kneel and pray. Dear Father in heaven, we just honor you again for the way you have, you've demonstrated to us through so many ways who you are and the goodness you extend to us and the grace. You've also shown us who you are through your authority. And give us a true picture of the authority that you have granted to each one of us as we submit to the authority over us. Lord, thank you again for the blessing it is to live together with brothers and sisters who love you. And I just pray for grace and strength for each one of us. We just pray especially for those who we know that are walking through very hard times, a death or health issues or whatever. Lord, you told your disciples when you left them that all authority is given to you in heaven and earth. And we claim that today and pray that you will help us to know how that applies to our life and to the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.